Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Ireland's international star of comedy, Mr. Noel V. Ginnity.
Things are so bad, I had a letter today from the Reader's Digest telling me that I'm not in next month's draw. I'd like to tell you about myself, ladies and gentlemen. I come from a large Irish family here, a family of 21 children. Now, in that line of 21, I'm the seventh one, and I had six sisters before me. We had a small little Irish house. I had to sleep with these girls. And five of them were bedwetters. I learned to swim at an early age. My mother would be putting me into bed at night. She'd say, do you want to go to the top or the bottom? I said, put me in the shallow end. You'd wake up in the morning, there'd be a rainbow in the bedroom. I was seven. Then there were two more girls. Then the tenth one was a boy, missus. The tenth one was a boy, missus, a boy. Now, his name was Wee Waw. I'm not surprised you're laughing. Wee Waw. It's a very strange name for an Irish lad, but my mother christened him Wee Waw because he was boarding in the ambulance and the ambulance emergency siren went off. You know, Wee Waw, Wee Waw, Wee Waw. And Wee Waw, God love him, he's not the sharpest knife in the drawer. He went into the shop last week. He went into the shop last week to buy himself a book on karate. Karate, missus, you know, karate. And he picked up a book on karaoke by mistake. And on his way home, wasn't he mugged? And he was very, very lucky to get two verses of Danny Boy out before they beat him up. Then he went to Taiwan on a bit of a holiday, missus. He went to Taiwan on a bit of a vacation. Missus, Taiwan, not Taitu, Taiwan. And when he was in Taiwan, he thought he'd buy himself a pair of flip-flops for the feet. The flip-flops, missus, for the feet. You understand? The flip-flops. And because he was in Taiwan, he wondered where they were made. He took one off and had a look at the sole, and it says, around the corner. Everybody told him it was very inexpensive over there. It was very cheap to buy stuff. So he decided he'd buy himself what we here in Ireland very fancifully call a duvet. But I know in the rest of the world you call them comforters for over your beds, right? Right? So he says to the girl behind the counter, he says, could I have a comforter, please? She says, duck down. He says, could I have a comforter, please? He gave up smoking. He went on the nicotine patch. The nicotine patch, missus. You understand? The nicotine patch. So I called him up. I says, how are you getting on? Oh, he says, I had to give up them patches. He says, I crashed the car. He says, it's very difficult to drive with one eye. You get that, missus? It's very difficult to drive with one eye. It's like a patch in his eye, you understand?
Funny guy, Noel V. Guinnessy. As a matter of fact, we're going to tackle Noel V. Guinnessy. We thought he might be at home. He's not. He is actually on a tour of the United States with Andy Cooney. But, well, Noel V. Guinnessy, how are you doing?
Hi, Adrian. I'm good, yeah. I'm traveling the world with Andy Cooney. Andy's a good guy.
Let me ask you about, we've listened to, to many throughout the year. We insert many of, your mostly the snippets that you have used for 50 solid years. And,
absolutely. I'm on the road 50 years.
Oh, my God. All right. That must be great for home life, though, this is delightful.
I've stayed in so many hotels now, I've started to steal my own towels.
Well, I tell you, it was, you were one of my first, as a matter of fact, you were the first comedian. We did a little bit of research on that, going back 43 years ago, and you were one of the first, and the very first comedian guest on my programs. You had been, at that point, you were the United States.
And I met so many famous Irish people in that studio on a Saturday morning, Adrian, with you. And so many of them gone now, Frank McCourton, Hal, Frank Patterson, just a quick three, like, you know.
I know, and we if we kept going,
there's so many more.
Let me ask you though, and there are, comedians in Ireland, as a matter of fact, some of them are mutual friends, like Brendan Grace.
Oh, yes.
But you are the, at this stage, the only resident comedian in Ireland. From May right up to October, right?
Absolutely, yeah. Playing 6 or 7 nights a week, yeah.
Yeah. And that's...
And there's a demand for what I do, Adrian, because I'm clean. Because comedy has taken a terrible hammering, in my opinion.
Yes.
Not just in England or America, here in Ireland as well. I'm amazed at what I can hear on television now,
Yeah. Well, I tell you, I think most visitors to Ireland really get a shock. A lot of it is not even part of, of a comic routine. It's going... I don't know.
I'm amazed, but I'm an old man now, so if I say much, people think I'm bitter and that this and that. But really, I'm working because I'm clean, and that's as much as I could say about it. But I am shocked when I turn on national television and hear some of the things I hear.
Yeah. Let me ask you about your career in the Burlington Hotel. I think that perhaps most people who listen to this program here through the years would have had at some stage either on a bus tour, like a CIA bus tour, or indeed in visiting Dublin and visiting in particular the Burlington Hotel. That was a must-see, must-stop, particularly on the coach tours. That was a highlight.
They were huge supporters of my show at the Burlington. Huge supporters.
Yeah.
You could really go to say, if they didn't support you, you'd be out of business, because they put so many people through Ireland every all year. Like, they're not just a 6 month job. They play all year. CIA,
Now let me
ask. Where are we going today?
Let me ask you about growing up and when you recognized or when you were recognized as as a young fella. I was going to say as a small fella, but then that's not for me to say.
Adrian, being a small fella probably has me on the stage because I became the funny guy to alleviate any other problems I might have had about my height and people ribbing you. And so I could make the other fellas laugh, the big guys in the gang, then adopted me onto their team. And it was a kind of defensive mechanism for me to keep going, you know.
The whole notion, though, of a cabaret is so peculiar to Ireland. The whole scene. It is a mix.
Well, you hit the nail on the head there because you can go to Vegas or you can go to wherever, Atlantic City, but you don't get the mix. If you come to Ireland, you get a bit of the history, a bit of the culture, a bit of the pipe playing, the box playing, the soprano, the tenor, the comedian. The Irish dancing.
Yes.
It runs the whole gamut of a little capsule of whatever happens in our country, you know?
Right. And fair play to Ireland. They do roll out the best. You know, it's not just any old entertainer. They have a great... Ireland has a great tradition of, indeed, putting a cabaret together, even throughout Ireland. If you're going to see something, it's going to be worthwhile. But I want to, again, let our audience know that there is one particular cabaret in Ireland. It's Taylor's, traditional Irish cabaret. It's a spectacular showcase of Ireland's, you know, entertainment at its very, very best. And you might tell us a bit about Taylor's Three Rock.
Near Rathfarnham Village, which people would know to visit Dublin,
yeah.
It's near Leopardstown Racecourse, and I was at the Burlington for 33 years, and then the Burlington closed down and all the greed to turn everything into apartments,
right.
That didn't happen because the crash came, and then the hotel was closed, and then reopened, and they tried a cabaret, but it wasn't successful, and this guy, Johnny Keenan, took us to Taylor's, and it's been a huge success, and he put his money where his mouth was, and did really a good job. He spent $50,000, which is not great in big shows, but it's a lot in a small show to spend $50,000 on a set, like, you know?
Right.
But he did his best, and we're there, and we will be there until we die now, well, until I die anyway.
Well, yeah, but if you keep going around the world like you are, you nearly have to be lucky to die in Ireland.
I tell you, Adrian, and this might be, I'm probably finishing, this tour will finish me, touring.
Well, maybe, you know? Maybe, although
I'm
think...
I'm tiring, you know.
Although it's a good few years...
Yeah. I will be still at Taylor's, yeah.
It's a good few years now when, since people said, you know that Noel V, God, he must be... You must be ready to just pack it in. You would never know it. You have a lot of energy. And I suppose, as a comedian, you have to have the energy. And you have to have that motivation. It's got to be in the genes. It's got to be in the blood. Because it's not that easy, you know?
It's not that easy. But thank God my health is good. And I love getting the chance of entertaining the people when they come with those coaches,
yeah.
From America, Australia, Canada, and they seem to have a good time. And above all, I love promoting Ireland. It's my country, and I love it, Adrian.
I know, and it's very evident as well. I just want to take a break here for a moment because there's a fella that is just bursting to be on. Hold on a second now.
To try and help him, ladies and gentlemen, to try and help him get over his grief, Murphy decided he'd buy himself a dog. So he looked up the ads in the paper and all classified, and he saw this golden retriever for sale for €50. with a full pedigree, and it seemed awfully cheap. He called up the lady, he says, well, it happened to be a lady. I didn't know that at the start. He called up, and it was a lady, and he inquired about the pedigree and the dog. He says, this seems terribly reasonable for a dog of that pedigree. He says, is this right? She says, everything is right. Pedigree's right, dog's fantastic. She says, you can come round this evening and see him. So he went round that evening, and he says to the woman, he says, now, I don't want any time wasting here. He says, I'm a busy man. He says, now, if this pedigree of this dog is not correct, and he's not in good health, he says, don't waste my time. The woman says, I told you everything was correct. She says, and anyway, she says, the dog is downstairs. Go down and ask him yourself. I know you seem that a bit silly, all right, but how many times have you said to a dog, where have you been? It doesn't seem so stupid now, you know. Well, come here, you. Here. You know, Murphy went down as feeling a bit stupid as he would, and he said to the dog, what about this pedigree? The dog says pedigree. He said, they didn't put half of it in there, he says. He said, a pedigree is twice as good as that, he said. He said, I was police dog of the year for 4 years, he said, in England. He says, I won the golden collar at Crofts Dog Show in London for 2 years. And last year in Ireland, he said, I was police dog of the year. And the year before that, I was police dog of the year. And only last year here in Dublin, he says, I saved 2 children from drowning that were being dragged out to sea. I swam out and pulled them back in. And Murphy says, that's extraordinary. He says, that is extraordinary. And he went up to the woman. He says, Mrs. He says, Mrs. He said it to her twice. He says, Mrs. He says, why would you want to sell a dog like that for 50 euros? Why would you sell a dog like that for 50 euros? She says, he's a liar, that's why.
And that's part of the humour there of our guest, Noel V. Guinity. Noel, let me ask you about, and I've noticed from myself and indeed many people who've gone to your shows, you know, normally a comedian will have a presentation that is set in stone, and if you go a month later, you'll hear the exact same routine. You can't do that on a bad night. You size up the audience, and you put a twist on stories and come up with some fairly crazy stuff.
Yeah, it's probably a little technique, and you try and maybe play off the audience. Maybe you see somebody might wear a hat to a gig or something, to a ditch, and it might look funny. You could have a laugh over anything, really, and you would have to work it that way, or you could become very stale, I dare say, you know. I think for my own sanity, I have to do things like that, you know. But I worked with Cooney on the cruise there, Randy, and I actually used the stage as my dressing room, so I put on my stage gear on the stage. So got a good laugh out of that.
Yeah.
They thought I was crazy.
You have, in addition, though, you've played to audiences all over the world, you know, and indeed, when you perform so often in the renowned, you know, Royal Albert Hall,
yeah,
in London. Is that a particular, is that a kind of a rough crowd? Do you have to gear, you know, your routine to the audience?
Well, I would probably would, because I played it with the fabulous Dubliners, the folk group, you know.
Oh, yes.
They didn't draw a rough crowd, but they would have drawn a very Irish type crowd.
Right.
And Irish people who lived in England. And
the
diaspora, and I would have to be a bit more, a little bit political at the time, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
That's a good while since I did that, Adrian, but I did play it 5 or 6 times, which was a great, I liked that. That was huge
yeah.
for me to do that, you know.
And
you would have to change it. They were definitely very, very Irish, you know, so you
yeah.
would have to flag the politicians, and at that stage, maybe Margaret Thatcher, Lord of Mercy, or all those people had to get a little bit of a rattle, you know?
Yeah, and of course, Australia, there would be very few places where Irish immigrant.
Yeah, yeah. It's lovely. I love the weather there as well, and I had a good time there,
That's
a back country to travel. It's hard to put a tour together like you can in America there, you know, because the places are so far apart, you have to fly to them to most of them.
Sure, yeah. You, coming back to Taylor's Three Rock, and fair play now to John Keenan. He made a great job out of that place. It's and it's not, you know, it's a pub, it's a restaurant, and in addition to the cabaret, you know, throughout the off season, which is, he's managed to, you know, meld in the music, the traditional Irish music, the culture, you know, year-round, which is...
Year-round, yeah. He has a smaller venue downstairs in the place, which he continues all year with a folk group or ballad group and some Irish dancers. And, yeah, he's a great guy, all right. And really, like, bands like that and the dancers, they depend on getting a few nights' work every week from... You know, and again I say this, the ones that keep them going through the winter are CIE because they run all winter. They run tours all winter. And that place, Adrian, was built in the year 1640. That place is in existence since. And around the windows and that, there is actually some of the original stuff and stone and all. It's an amazing place. For people to see. You know, we were a bit worried when we left the glamour of the five-star Burlington Hotel.
Right.
But when the people pull up in the coaches now and see this thatched roof and this antiquated-looking place, you know, and
but
then
it's
really
a big, long
cabaret room inside, you know. But even in that cabaret room, some of the window sills, the window things inside, are off the original building, you know. It is amazing.
And it's a huge, rambling place, too.
I still can't find my way around it after 7 years. I'm upstairs, downstairs, I don't know where I am, you know.
Listen, first of all...
He's a good guy. It's good to meet people in your business, Adrian, that are decent of spirit, you know.
Yeah.
He's a decent spirit about him. He's generous. He's a generous human being, and I think that's great to be able to say.
You know, when you think that that very few countries, I suppose America will come in second in the whole concept of adopting the Irish cabaret. That's something that's, you know, have show will hit the road, you know, and it's great.
It is amazing, and it's kept so many of us employed, not just Noel, all the dancers and Lord of Mercy and Hal and Frank Harrison and Anna McGoldrick, she toured there as well. She's still with us, thank God.
Absolutely.
But so many of us, like, I'm not the only one out with Andy Cooney. There are four or five or six other Irish shows out, like, with 10 and 15 people in each of them, you know.
Right.
And it's great that we're getting the work, and it is in America, and we never forget that, and I never forget what America has done for Ireland when they sent back that few dollars from Irish people working over there, which got this country on the road over the past 75 years.
I know indeed. And indeed we might acknowledge since you were...
Well, we mustn't forget. I never failed to acknowledge it on the stage, you know.
Yeah.
People saying, Irish, American, you're Irish. You're as Irish as you want to be, you know.
You know, and again, we have lost a good friend, somebody you indeed travelled with, and Sean Potts, the co-founder of the Chieftains.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you're going to be back for, you know, from the end of April right through October.
Right through October, yeah.
And again, we can tell you that, friends, that Taylor's Three Rock is in Rathfarnham in Dublin, and that's seven nights a week.
Probably seven nights. It's definitely six, but he asked me would I do seven, and I will be doing seven most. I did seven mostly this year, you know.
Yeah.
And I hope people come, and I hope they have a good time if they do come.
If they do,
I'll buy them a pint.
Okay. All right. Now be careful with that. You know, as you've said many times yourself, you know, about others, that, you know, deep pockets and short reach, you know.
Oh, yeah, and a bad memory.
I think anybody who is going to Ireland, who is going to Dublin, it is well worth the trip to Taylor's Three Rock. And you can get that information, info at taylors3rock.ie, not .com. That's Taylors, T-A-Y-L-O-R-S, 3, T-H-R-E-E, rock, R-O-C-K, one word, .ie. And when you do, friends, I think you will be very, very pleased indeed. The telephone number, when you get to Ireland, 3531, it's 494-2311. Noel V, have a good tour this time around, and we'll see you at, you know, at Taylor, Three Rock, as
we
have.
Lovely to talk to you in such a long association, and may God bless you. And there's a place at the cup table for you and your guests whenever you call.
I know, and we take advantage of it too. God bless.
Bye-bye.
And Mrs. Casey said to Mrs. Murphy, she says, what's the difference, she says, between kinky and erotica? See the silence that brings over you, Mrs. She says, what's the difference between kinky and erotica? And Mrs. Murphy thought for a few minutes. She says, I'll explain it to you this way, she says. Now, she says, if Paddy tickles you with a feather, she says, that's erotica. And if he uses the whole chicken, that's kinky.